You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Wednesday. Fast and furious. Come on in. Looks like we got football in the Big Ten. What's more surprising? That Monday morning when I told you the Big Ten and Pac-12 were not going to play football this season, or this morning where the announcement has been made that there will be Big Ten football and everybody is going to play? That's the news, that everybody is going to play, because they were divided. And my source told me 2 days ago, it's going to be contentious when they all get in the room and they all start to discuss what they want to do, how they want to do it, who's in, who's not. It's a bad look. This is what I was told this morning, that the presidents realized it was going to be a bad look if your school did not play in the Big Ten and the other schools did. I didn't know what was going to happen state by state, allowing these universities to be open for business when it comes to football. But some things have transpired in the last 48 hours, and it has to do in large part to the testing that then they've been able to come up with. I don't know what happens with the Pac-12, because the Pac-12 has to be looking at this saying, we're in, you know, conjunction with, in unison with, in lockstep with the Big Ten. Because the Pac-12 wanted the Big Ten to be the first to say we're not playing, because the Pac-12 didn't want them to be singled out and go, you know, typical Pac-12, soft and not relevant. And the Big Ten took a bullet and said, we'll do it. And then the Pac-12 followed up, which is exactly what I told you back in August. But my source said that things were pushed back 2 weeks, because initially he told me they're targeting October 10th. Targeting. And that's when people said, you said they're coming back October 10th. I said, that's the target date. That was the plan. Things have changed so much here. You have to understand, there's every time I'd get some information, an hour later, I'd get different information or more information. And we had 14 schools. I was told you're probably getting 9 schools. You needed 9 votes. Now you got everybody who's on the same page. That's the news. That's the big surprise here. Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, just tweeted, let's go, exclamation point. Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated does a great job in covering college sports. Big Ten has lost as much high-end talent to opt-outs as any league. Micah Parsons, Sean Wade, the defensive back at Ohio State, Rondale Moore, Wyatt Davis. Are they able to opt back in? That's the other question that I have. All schools are playing, and now they've moved it back the 23rd and 24th. So Friday, Saturday, and I don't know, as they move forward, are they going to try to take over Friday night? Is there a way that they have a TV deal that provides some extra revenue here? I don't know. I'm trying to find all this out in real time, but they're going to do it 23rd, 24th. They're still going to have the Big Ten title game, and then the next day is when you have the selection committee picking its final four. And the Big Ten knows that they have a potential final four school in Ohio State. But that's where we are right now. There's been some great reporting on this, following this, but I haven't steered you wrong. Everything I've said to you happened. Now, I did point out there were schools that weren't going to play. And I know the Michigan fans, Michigan State fans, took it personally when I said that yesterday, that I was told they weren't on board with this. Northwestern was not on board with this. Illinois wasn't on board. Maryland, because it was a hot state. Rutgers, being in New Jersey, another state, you know, that's had issues with, you know, quarantining. So the fact that they could get all together, and I told you that they were voting on Monday. They voted Monday night. I know that people have refuted that, but from what I'm told, that's, they kept this quiet. They did a great job in keeping this quiet, and I was shocked because I was trying to get more information of, did everybody vote yes? And then it turns out that is the case. But I'm told that Sean Wade, who is probably a top 10 pick, the best cornerback in this draft at Ohio State, was going to sign with an agent this morning. And I don't know if he did, and if you opted out, can you opt back in? I hope that those, given what those kids have been through, I hope they give them the opportunity. Even if Wade signed with an agent, they should still let him opt back in, because these kids have been through an awful lot. And I applaud them. They did not give up. I hope it works out well. And I don't know what you could be thinking if you're in the Pac-12 and you're Larry Scott, their commissioner. You've got some bigger issues in those states. You got wildfires, what's happened in California, the state with the virus. But this came down to, from what I'm told this morning, the availability of rapid testing. That's really, really important here. And I think that changed a lot of people's minds. You know, I had my source telling me about liability yesterday. That's still an issue with some of these. Presidents and some athletic directors, this was last night. Presidents and some ADs in the Big Ten feel it's too risky, but the last 2 weeks have been hard for them to watch other schools play. It's important for Michigan to play if there's medical support and testing protocols, and if they improve to their satisfaction, then Michigan will play. Yes, Eden.
The one thing that I keep coming back to that's just really difficult to get any kind of answers for is how can everybody else play but they can't?
Yeah.
You know, everybody else in the state is playing football or soccer or whatever else is going on, but they can't. That's just a real tough one to explain away.
And that's what I kept coming back to. High school football in Ohio, high school football in Michigan, they were playing. Pro football in those states were playing. That's what I didn't understand when it came to the Big Ten. And I thought that they keep, let me go back to when they had this vote, and then I found out what the vote was and told you that Monday morning. There were coaches and athletic directors who did not know what was going on. And I said, did you do everything? Did you exhaust every avenue to try to come back? And that was my criticism with the Big Ten. I don't think they did. Yeah, see.
In a funny way, it feels like this is going to, we're going to find out how crazy we all are just based off of how this football season goes. Because either, what are we, crazy? Why in the hell were we letting them play? Or, you know, how crazy were we that we didn't, we considered not letting them play?
I think that a lot of things have happened, transpired, since the Pac-12 and Big Ten announced they were closing up shop. And I think it has a lot to do with testing and having this data available. And, you know, you had Ed Orgeron at LSU saying, I think our whole team has had COVID. Like, okay, now we can start to play football here. Alabama, Clemson, the number of positive tests. But that happened, what, a month ago, maybe even longer, and gave them that opportunity. And now you're going to have football coming up in the SEC. You know, Big 12 is starting. ACC's already started as well. The Pac-12, probably not, but the Big Ten is going to be ready for business, it looks like, here on a Friday night. I don't know what the schedules are. I don't know how they decide who's playing whom. And it looks like there's an 8-game schedule here. And, you know, do you have the final game of the regular season, Ohio State and Michigan? Like, I don't know how, you know, they usually it's Thanksgiving, but you're stretching this out into December. Then you have the Big Ten title game. So that's the information as we have it right now. Yes, Paulie.
You know what I can't wait for is a mid-December bloodbath disagreement between the SEC and the Big Ten when a team like Ohio State's 8-0 or 7-1, and then there's a team like, let's say, Georgia, who plays 10 games, not 8 games, they play 10, and they're 9-1. Mm. And the debate, well, they played more games, their record's better, but they're the third team in the SEC. Wait for that in mid-December.
Yeah, but what I was told is that Ohio State is hoping, according to my source, that they'll pass the look test, that they're not going to have the same number of games as the other conferences, but that the committee will look at Ohio State and say they look like a Final Four team. That's what their hope is, because they can only play so many games in this window, still play the Big Ten title game, and then get ready for the playoffs. Phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. I took the Clippers to task in the first hour because Paul George, after last night's loss, had this to say.
It's obvious pressure, you know, to live up to the title expectations. But as a player, I mean, you want that. Like, you want that. Again, it's the first time I've been in that situation where we're expected to win. But, you know, it is what it is. It's no cop-out. Fact of the matter is we didn't live up to that expectation. But I think internally we've always felt this is not a championship or bust year for us.
That's surprising. We'll check in with the Clippers coming up in about 10 minutes from now, because this season was a failure. I know a lot of things happened. Shut down the season, went into the bubble, but so did everybody else. And you can't tell me, hey, you know what? The changing parts here on the roster. You brought in Paul George. The Lakers turned over their roster to bring in Anthony Davis. I haven't heard any excuses out of them or chemistry issues with them. Of course, nobody went to get chicken wings out of the bubble either. But Kawhi and Paul George are one season away from having the option to enter free agency. That's why this was championship or bust. Also, they gave up a really good player in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, unprotected first-round picks 2022, 2024, 2026. They swapped picks with Oklahoma City 2023, 2025. And you're bringing in Kawhi and Paul George. And then the Clippers traded away their 2020 first-round pick for Marcus Morris, who's soon to be a free agent. Yes, this was championship or bust. And welcome to the bright lights, Paul George. It's not Oklahoma City. It's not Indiana. It's the bright lights. How about you make it to the conference finals? Maybe not championship or bust. How about Western Conference finals? Yes, McLeod.
Are we overrating like all this depth? Like I was looking at, they're all second round picks who played in the G League, except for Paul George. Like every single one of these guys on the roster: Zubac, Harrell, Jermichael Green, Lou Williams, Beverly, journeyman and former G Leaguers. Like they.
No, the Lakers got journeyman.
The Lakers too. I know, which is, but the Lakers have. I would argue with Anthony Davis are a little better, but we were talking about the Lakers' chemistry a lot. Like when they first started in the bubble, we're like, oh, I don't know. Remember when Rondo was out and it was like, there were some issues.
Yes, they had
Lakers.
Avery Bradley who didn't play. Rondo was out and they held it together.
Definitely.
Yes.
It's weird that we keep going back to it in some ways anyway, but how important is Kuzma going to be then? He could end up being like the difference maker somehow.
We keep waiting. We keep waiting for him. And I don't know. I just don't know if he can be. You know, it's hard to find your spot with LeBron and certainly AD. And I think Kuzma, when it wasn't Anthony Davis on the team, it was a little easier for these guys, Brandon Ingram, to kind of find their spots there. It's a little bit tougher now, but I'm waiting for Kuzma to be a great player. Well, a very good player, maybe a consistent player. How about that? Yeah, Paulie.
Who would you rather have on your team right now, Kyle Kuzma or Tyler Hero?
I'd probably take Tyler Hero.
That's kind of the point.
Yeah. But, you know, Tyler Hero, you have to watch the Miami Heat play. He's not afraid. He can shoot. He can defend. He's a good player. But you have to go out of your way to watch some of these teams. And that's what I loved about the Miami Heat. Because usually it's a 7 o'clock game, and I got to watch them during the regular season. And they're a good team. And if they beat the Celtics, you should not be surprised. People were surprised when they beat the Bucks. I will not be surprised if they beat the Celtics. They won it in overtime last night. Jimmy Butler hit a big shot. Bam Adebayo had a block for the ages. And Miami picks up game one. Kemba Walker, liability offensively and defensively. No NBA, no NFL, but you have 16 baseball games coming up. But the big news this morning, the Big Ten will be playing. Vincent in Wisconsin joining us today. Hi, Vincent. What do you have for me today?
Thanks, Dan. Listen, I live just south of Madison. Elementary schools, middle schools, colleges are all closing around our area. Just several of them in the past week. We aren't even a month into the school year. I have a niece currently, a freshman at Wisconsin, locked in her dorm room, not able to go anywhere. There's reports of myocarditis with this COVID-19. It just seems to me how many schools, Dan, have to close before we say, you know what, this experiment of having kids come on campus has failed. Because here in Wisconsin, it's not looking great, especially if you have kids that are doing, you know, trying to go back on campus and are now being told to go home, whether it's at the, like I said, elementary school level or college level.
Yeah, this is going to be, you're going to know a whole lot in a couple of months. But these are football players. They're not students. They're football players. And don't confuse the two, certainly not this year, because these presidents and chancellors and athletic directors have made it perfectly clear. You don't have to read between the lines. These are football players. They're not students. They're coming back because they are big business, and the Big Ten needs them. Dave in California. Hi, Dave. What do you have for me?
You mentioned a couple weeks ago that if some of the Big Ten teams sat out, they wouldn't get a piece of the pie. And now with everybody coming back, you think they're trying to increase their piece of pie by having more teams eligible for some of these smaller bowls that, you know, before the
conferences.
So now, you know, all these chancellors are business people, like you said, follow the money, and so that gives them more opportunity to get teams in these smaller bowls.
If you follow the money, you're rarely wrong. Thank you, Dave. But this is about if somebody plays in the national championship game, the conference benefits, bowl games. I'm told there's going to be bowl games this year. I don't know how many, but I'm told there's going to be bowl games. There's more revenue here. This is very transparent. This is a business deal. Everybody come back. We're going to roll the dice. We have rapid testing. We're going to try this. Maybe we're going to have the same approach as the SEC, ACC, and Big 12, but we're going to play. But make no mistake about this. They're coming back because of the money. It's like I send my daughter to school. She's on campus, and she doesn't go to class. Why? This is about big business. This is a transaction of you're going to pay, even though your child does not get the full college experience. But we want you on campus, so you're going to pony up the big ticket item there. This is business. And these are professional football players who are going to go out there and play on Saturday. Make no mistake about it. Because that's what these chancellors, athletic directors, presidents are saying. We need you back. We need you back. Go make us some money now. We'll take a break. We'll check in with the Clippers. What is the next move for the Clippers in the offseason? Is Doc Rivers' job safe? We'll have that for you coming up. Reggie Miller will join us coming up in the final hour of the program. More of your phone calls as well. Approaching 18 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. During these unprecedented times, you can rely on LegalZoom for legal help. Visit LegalZoom.com today to take care of the things that you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. We're all faced with new challenges these days. If you need legal help for yours, count on LegalZoom. You can start online, and their network of independent attorneys can provide advice when you need it the most. No matter what happens, you want to make sure your loved ones are taken care of. That's why LegalZoom has made it easy to set up the right estate plan, last will, or living trust without leaving your home. Don't know the difference between a last will or living trust? LegalZoom can help. They're not a law firm, but you can get started quickly online and also get advice through their network of independent attorneys. Take care of your family today at LegalZoom.com. And once again, it's difficult to navigate the legal waters there, but start online. You don't have to leave your home and take advantage of their network of independent attorneys. If you're going to get started online with a last will or living trust or right estate plan, they're the place to start. Or if you're starting up a business as well, check in with LegalZoom. Take care of your family today at LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. More phone calls coming up. McLevin, didn't we settle on our poll question today?
Yeah, I have up which team is most likely to make the Final Four of Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. It's still Clemson, but actually Alabama just overtook Ohio State as the second place. No one's got Oklahoma.
Okay. Once again, if you're just joining us, the Big Ten, they're all in. All 14 are coming back to play football in the Big Ten. I don't know how they're going to do the schedule, but it looks like 8 games. We're going to have a conference title game. There's a press conference going on right now, and I'd love to know what was happening behind the scenes because my source has been telling me all along it was going to get contentious. That story will eventually come out. I don't know if my source will have that, but I was told it was going to get ugly there because not everybody wanted to play, and some of these governors of these states didn't want their schools to play, from what I'm told. Then you have the presidents and the chancellors involved in all that, but we'll let you know what we know when we know it. Dan Wojcicki, oh, look who's back. LA Times, he covers the NBA, also covers the Clippers. And you got a smile on your face, but you might be the only person involved with the Clippers with a smile on your face. If I told you 2 weeks ago we'd be having this conversation today, Dan, what would you have said?
I said, I've seen this movie before, Dan, is what I would say. That I was there in 2015 when they were up 3-1 against the Rockets. And I've seen this team be faced with success and kind of run in the opposite direction for whatever reason, whether something out of their control has happened or, you know, in this case, seemingly the pressure just got to them. And to see what happened three games in a row, to see this team blow 47 points worth of leads in elimination games, is just stunning. It truly is. And then on top of it, to watch sort of the seemingly the collective of the NBA dance on their graves in the aftermath in itself is almost another indictment. So it's been a rough night for the Clippers, that's for sure.
I mentioned this in the first hour, and you know better than I would, but it felt like these Clippers almost felt like they had won titles. You know, Kawhi had won a title and Doc had won a title. It felt like the other guys acted like they had won a title before, that we somehow are on the easy pass at Disney World to get to the conference finals. And then all of a sudden, I thought that they were in trouble against Dallas. I thought Dallas had the potential to upset them in the first round. Nobody was heeding any of that advice or warning. And then all of a sudden, you see these next two series here. We love to point the finger here. Where do you point the finger first here on blame?
Well, to me, it starts with the stars. That's who this stuff falls on in the playoffs. And Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were nowhere near good enough last night. I think, you know, Kawhi Leonard looked really tentative late in the game. Paul George is wide open from the corner and shoots a three off the side of the backboard. A pretty stunning moment. And then I think, you know, you talk to these guys after the game and you hear Paul George talking about process and talking about how, you know, it wasn't championship or bust in his mind internally, that they knew that. And look, if I'm the Clippers front office and I obviously only one team can win, right? But it certainly was conference finals or bust,
yes.
You know, or NBA finals or bust. Like there, Dan, there is a 12-year-old in America probably saying God knows what about the Clippers on Twitter, that the Oklahoma City Thunder will be able to draft with the Clippers draft pick in 6 years, right? Like that's how far down the line the Clippers have mortgaged their future for this moment. And a lot of stuff has happened between when that trade was made and obviously last night. There are excuses to be made all over the place, but I think ultimately, again, they had double digit leads and three straight elimination games, and they weren't able to close the door. And each time, Dan, it was weird being in that building. Shooters talk about this stuff all the time where they talk,
Is that Paul George?
I apologize. It is not.
Oh, it's not Paul George.
It is not. Sadly, it is not Paul George. I apologize. I wish it was Paul George.
What would you say to Paul George if that was him?
I mean, I would ask him if he really believed what he said last night, you know, and because I think I don't think he can, right? Like that can't be really how he truly feels about this team, and I think, you know, hopefully I would try to goad out of him that, you know, are you just searching for answers in this moment? Is that what this is about? Are you just looking for a reason to explain the unexplainable, and for it to not just be we're the Clippers and like we're gonna have to work twice as hard to overcome this stuff just because of sort of the emotional baggage that comes with being a part of this franchise.
I just wonder about the bright lights here, because Kawhi's been in the bright lights. Nobody else has been in the bright lights. This is in Oklahoma City. This is in Indiana for Paul George. And it's not just on him. There were other guys that, you know,
when
it got bright and it got hot and they sort of fell apart here. And I don't want to lose sight of what Denver accomplished here, because
completely,
we knew they were going to be spent in game one. And I just didn't know how they would rally. And down 3-1, it almost felt like that's a let's just check out of the bubble and let's just go home. But they had more depth than the Clippers did. And their star players in the last three games acted like stars, unlike we saw with the Clippers.
Well, let's do this real quick. And I think you're onto something here, Dan. Paul George last night, another one of the things he said that I thought was really illuminating was that he's never been a favorite before. But this is somebody who's always been an underdog throughout his career. He's played for underdog franchises. He went to Fresno State, right? Like that, essentially admitting that it took some time and maybe he wasn't quite used to having everybody sort of gun for him, right? And for him to be a part of that team. But you're right. You look up and down this roster and you say, I mean, what has Patrick Beverley ever won in the NBA? He hasn't won anything. He hasn't played in that, like, these super high level of games. Has Lou Williams or Montrezl Harrell ever been in this situation? They have not. And they absolutely look like players that had not been in this situation. You have Lou Williams, one of the great scorers off the bench in league history, blowing layup after layup after layup. It was at a certain point, it's almost cringing. You cringe. You watch the stuff and you see these guys, and they have no idea what is happening to them. So I do think that you're right, that this, the championship experience on this roster, I think, was overstated. Certainly, it's easy to say that through the hindsight of 2020. And I feel like they've got a lot of really big decisions to make this summer. This offseason, force of habit.
Is Doc safe?
It's a good question. It's hard. It would be hard to say so definitively, I think. It's something, his voice within that organization, Dan, is so valued.
Yeah.
He has carried them through some incredibly rocky waters, and he has earned a lot of trust and a lot of credibility from Steve Ballmer on down and in that organization. I mean, this is somebody who was essentially functionally demoted from a front office position, only to do then his best coaching jobs, with lesser talent. This year, though, obviously, I mean, he said it after the game, if it should be on somebody, it should be on me. I think he partly believes that. I think he also is partly just trying to protect his players.
He's Dan Wojcicki. He covers the NBA and the Clippers for the LA Times. If you're the Lakers, how do you think LeBron is reacting to this?
I mean, I don't think we have to wonder. I mean, they were part of the dunk parade on Twitter last night too. Not necessarily LeBron, but Jared Dudley is tweeting crying face emojis and stuff like this. And I mean, again, I think it speaks to sort of your point that maybe the Clippers acted like a team that, had more on the trophy case than's actually there. He shouldn't be too excited though, because Denver, I mean, what more evidence do we need that Denver is a dangerous team than what we've seen in their last six elimination games, than what we've seen from Michael Malone, that what we've seen from Nikola Jokic, like this beautiful glacier moving player, who's just slow and devastating. And it's like throwing water polo passes. This guy is incredible. You have Jamal Murray, who is playing as confidently as anybody in the NBA. And you mentioned some really good functional depth.
Yeah.
And it's they shouldn't feel like to borrow one of your Disney, like the fast pass to the finals is there. It's not. Denver will put up a fight. I just think that, people around the league always felt that the team best equipped to beat the Lakers was the Clippers. And on top of the drama that we all wanted from the LA versus LA series, that it was also probably the best chance to knock LeBron James off. And at this point, I mean, it seems like they're going to have a pretty big advantage in the finals.
And it feels like the other series is the consolation series with the Heat against the Celtics. But I have said to my audience when we started the Milwaukee series, I said the Heat can beat the Bucks. Make no mistake about it. And they're gaining that confidence there. I don't know if they win this series, but if you're looking at a formidable opponent in the finals, who do you think is more formidable, the Celtics or the Heat?
I mean, Boston, I think, matches up better talent-wise, but I do think there's something super special about what's happening in Miami or with Miami. Before the start of that Bucks series, I asked Mike Budenholzer if he saw any parallels between this Heat team and last year's Raptors team. And he did. And I mean, in terms of tough-minded, together, a star that can lift you up on both ends of the floor. Jimmy Butler sort of in that Kawhi Leonard role. And I do think I wrote a story about Duncan Robinson earlier this week. And it's funny, you talk to these guys on this team. You have Duncan Robinson, a guy who before he's at Michigan has to go play at a Division III school. You have Jimmy Butler, who played at a community college. You have Jay Crowder, who played at a community college. You have these guys that are used to playing in these empty buildings, doing whatever it takes to win. And it's funny, you just feel like they're sort of built for this, Dan. It really does feel like that the Heat's fabric and their culture is almost exists specifically to be, let's put you in this crazy position where you're not going to be able to see your family. It's going to be all focused on basketball, and you're going to have to buy 100% in. Miami, more than any other team, seems like to be embracing that, truly.
Good to visit with you, Dan. And how does this affect your mood that the Clippers are out, though? Like, you cover them primarily, but How does it affect you of now you're covering who?
Well, just, I mean, I'll be at Lakers. I'll be, you know, doing obviously some Lakers stuff, a lot of Lakers stuff, and then I'll be there. You know, I think like everybody, I mean, I wanted to see that series. And that to me is part of this story that, and like the unfortunate part sort of about the Clippers story in general is that, you know, the parallels to that 2015 team and the situations up 3-1 with, if you remember, that was, they were going to play the Golden State Warriors and those two teams hated each other. And it was the one series that everybody wanted to see. And the Clippers didn't show up for that party. Right. And it's just like, you feel like you know, you're walking into the movie to see The Godfather and you end up with, I don't know, like Mickey Blue Eyes or something instead. nice, timely references. I know.
Thank you, Dan. Great to talk to you.
All right. Be good, Dan.
That's Dan Wojcicki. He covers the NBA, the Clippers for the LA Times. Have you ever watched me interview somebody and then you go, who does he remind you of? And Dan looks like somebody. I don't know if he's part of what is that show? Not crime. Is it Crime Unit? Like
Criminal Intent?
Criminal Intent.
Law and Order.
Yeah, maybe Criminal Intent. He looks a little bit like he could be Seton's older brother, or maybe a cousin or something. I don't know. I was just watching and I was going, he looks like somebody. Maybe it's just me. Yes, McLovin.
I've been scanning the Law and Order series for who it, Vincent D'Onofrio?
Yes. Does he look a little like Vincent D'Onofrio? Or is that just me?
I see it. I see it.
Okay. Yeah, Paul.
I got a note. He looks a little bit like Wags from Billions, maybe his younger brother.
Oh.
I don't know if that's a stretch.
I haven't seen Billions, but I'll take somebody at their word. By the way, Fritzy is, he comes in sometimes and he plays the Sports Center anchor, like if he was going to tease something. So he just walks around this morning at around 8 o'clock. Fritzy went on his, is as if he were a Sports Center anchor. This is what he would say. And you had some very funny ones. You want to recount those?
I think one of them was Jason Tatum thought he had the game tying dunk, but bam, that happened.
What else?
And then I had one. I think I had one joke related. I have to think about which one it was. It was something about the jokes on the Clippers. I don't remember what I said. Something. I'm screwing this whole thing up.
I thought it was funny at around 8 o'clock. It's just not as funny 2.5 hours later.
You know what? It was funny when Todd was just naturally doing it, but when it's set up to like, hey, Todd's going to do some SportsCenter lines now on the spot. It's like,
because as SportsCenter anchors, we'd always have those corny lines, like that one line that you would have, and you know that was one that you had.
Like bartender, somebody ought to buy this guy a drink. Ought to buy him.
Yes, Paul.
Drink.
But Todd was in character as a SportsCenter anchor, and he had a great Bam Adebayo line. I don't know what happened to it.
The first one was okay.
Yeah, that was the.
He did it in character for us at 8:15 in the morning.
Celtics thought they were going to win, but bam,
that happened.
That
about the heat.
Yeah.
Well, the heat.
Talking about the heat and the heat.
But, you know, that's a good point because Todd wasn't doing his impression that time. He was doing that. Oh, yeah. What was it? There was something about a line that I was going to say. It was like something about Bam, and then it was going to be like something like that.
Never mind, Todd. Never mind.
I'm bummed out now.
Yeah,
I'm
that stinks.
It was America.
I said something about something joke, like the joke was on the Clippers.
Yeah, but imagine the audience here, like how they feel. You're bummed. Like I have to apologize. Yeah, to
hopefully, they haven't changed stations at this point. Yeah.
Onion bagel all over again.
Oh,
that's a lot of setup.
In a bad place.
Dang.
I'm in a bad place. Rick in Iowa, then we'll take a break. Hi, Rick. What's on your mind today?
How you doing, Dan?
Great, Rick.
Love your program. I'm a truck driver, and you guys talk like me and my sports fan buddies, and I'm not around them, so you guys are like my buddies while I'm driving a truck. I'm heading to Omaha right now with Winter Wheat. I'm sure you remember the song Turn the Page with
Bob Seger.
Bob Seger, you got it, buddy. Hey. Omaha, they don't know what to do with them hogs out there, you know. turn the page. Anyway, just a couple things, Dan. Not to go political, but there's one guy that's smiling from ear to ear about the Big Ten.
Oh, I know that. Thank you, Rick. Yep. He said they were down to the 1 yard line, which they weren't. They weren't even in the red zone, but I'm sure that the president will take a victory lap today, that the Big Ten is coming back. Little Bob Seger here.
96 Rock.
It's going to take a little while to get to the vocals here. Here we go, Bobby Seger.
East Omaha. You can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before.
I think this is his best song.
But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do.
I like Bob Seger. He's one of those American treasures.
Yeah, underappreciated.
Yeah.
Bam, that happened.
Thanks, Todd.
You don't feel much like
thank you, Todd.
Call back.
Yeah. Going to take a break here. More phone calls coming up. Reggie Miller will join us coming up next hour.
Turns out the Joker was on the Clippers.
Thank you, Todd. You're back. All you had to do was imitate Neil Everett or Stan Verrett.
Our research is better than yours.
You know what it was? I overset you up.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I felt the pressure like I did like when I went on stage and bombed 0-for-4.
It's like throwing an alley-oop to...
I'm sorry, which time did you go on stage and bomb?
It's like throwing an alley-oop to a guy who can't jump.
Fritz is entertaining when nobody's watching.
Well, when you're not paying attention, he's funny, and then you'll go, oh, that's funny, Todd. Yes, I see.
And I feel terrible because this morning he was cracking me up. It was so funny.
Yeah.
He was rolling. It was
like
great.
I hit him out of the park in batting practice, and once the game starts, I'm caught looking again. There you go.
Whiff.
All right, we're back.
0-for-3 and a pop out and maybe a
whiff. The whiff. Take a break. Got a couple more items about the Big Ten. I'll have that for you coming up next year on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. More phone calls coming up. Barry Alvarez, former Wisconsin coach, now I believe athletic director, says the ninth week of the Big Ten season will not just be the Big Ten title game, but also second-place team in the East will play the second-place team in the West, third versus third, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, Pauline?
Does that mean, like many predicted years ago, that Rutgers would someday play on Big Ten championship weekend is factually correct?
I'm good. Yes, technically. Technically, Rutgers is playing on Big Ten championship weekend. Yes. Still trying to get all that information, what else is going on, what else went on behind the scenes to get all of these presidents and chancellors on the same page. Truly remarkable. Not that they were going to play football. It was the number of schools that were going to play football. By the way, I'm excited to announce something in conjunction with Amazon Music and IMDb. I have a new podcast that starts September 22nd. It's called That Scene. And I get to talk to Will Ferrell about that scene in Old School where he goes streaking. David Spade, that scene in the car in Tommy Boy. That scene with Peter Billingsley. He was Ralphie in A Christmas Story where he's going to shoot his eye out. The first one is with Adam Sandler where Sandman talks about the infamous fight he had with the legendary game show host Bob Barker in Happy Gilmore. And the first episode will drop on September 22nd. That's with Amazon Music in conjunction with IMDb. So it's a lot of fun. And got a chance to talk to Bryan Cranston about the final scene in Breaking Bad. We spent about 45 minutes on that. But, you know, we're going to have him about 30 minutes or less. And it's just talking about that one scene. But that is the name of the podcast, That Scene with Amazon Music. All right, phone calls coming up here. Tom in Ohio. Hey, Tom, what do you have for me today?
Hey, good morning, Dan. How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
Just wanted to elaborate on what you said about Wilkie, who he looks like.
Yeah.
If you watch the Charlie Brown Christmas right at the end where they sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, he looks, his mouth is shaped just exactly like those characters.
Thank you, Tom. It's a little deeper than I preferred to go.
It's very specific.
Yes, it is. Do you think that he's watching Dan Wojcicki on on TV on Peacock going, his mouth looks just like those characters on Charlie Brown? Wow. Jeff in Detroit. Hey, Jeff, what do you got for me today?
What up, though? One time for chat row. Listen, I'm seriously wondering as the L.A. Clippers looking for Ned, Nancy, Buster, and the Doris the Waitress, because it's looking like Groundhog Day around those parts, man. Seriously. When you think about it, they keep doing the same thing over and over again. And I'm trying to figure out, Is Doc Rivers to blame? Is it the crew? I'm not sure. I do have one question, though, for you, Dan.
Okay.
Does the Heat remind you kind of like the 2003-2004 Pistons, where nobody kind of gave them a chance? They had crowned L.A. the champs already, and you have to have good chemistry. When I look at those guys play, they play very, very well together. Do you see the – I mean, they got just as good a chance as anybody to win it all.
No, I think that's an interesting comparison. Thank you, Jeff. Because they weren't the bad boy Pistons. You know, it was a different Pistons team, and we didn't look at them the same. You know, maybe you could say Jimmy Butler, Chauncey Billups, but, you know, they have a it's a good, balanced team, and they seem to complement each other by the way they play. I know it sounds like I'm overselling the Heat, but I just love watching good basketball. I like, you know, where people know what they're supposed to do. Goran Dragic has always been one of my favorite players. And he had a big game last night. Jimmy Butler hitting a big shot. Bam Adebayo, you're watching somebody grow into a star right in front of you. I love Tyler Hero. He's not afraid of anybody. Duncan Robinson is one of the great shooters in the game. It's a fun team. They got some depth. And Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley have done a wonderful job here. Chuck in North Carolina joining us. Hi, Chuck. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan, good morning. 5'11", a COVID plus 20, 240 here. Couple of mock headlines with all apologies to Fritzy about Game 7 last night. First one is, Cry Me a River. Leonard scores just 14 points in decisive Game 7 as Clippers blow 3-1 series lead to the Nuggets.
Okay, a little lengthy on the headline, but what else do you have?
The second one, by George, they did it. Nuggets come back from 3-1 down and shock highly touted duo of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in 7 games to advance to West Finals.
Once again,
thanks, Dan,
all right, thank you.
Yes. Suck it back row.
Suck it back row. Yes, okay. Yes, Paul.
I don't think back row should suck it. Fritzy dropped that Kawhi Mia River in like 2014.
Multiple times.
What is this, amateur hour?
Yeah.
This is
Chuck taking a shot at the throne. I think people are looking at you're vulnerable on the mock headline throne.
They're coming.
Would you like to respond, Todd?
The doc is out.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Seton.
I'm still going to say the back row does not have to suck it off of those
not
headlines.
Not off Chuck's headlines.
No.
What's up, Doc? Not the Western Conference Finals.
All right, that's rebounding, but it's because the first one was so bad.
The Joker's on the clip.
No.
He's just flailing right now, like... He's trying to stay above water, and he can't. He's like, ugh.
Plus, you can almost hear his brain working, trying to come up with these headlines.
Murray, step right up and see the Clippers not go to the Western Conference Finals again.
Oh, my God.
What? Like a little, you know, carnival barker. Hurry, step right up.
Murray,
like Jamal Murray. Murray, why you bugging? Murray, why you bugging? There you go. That's the one. I'll go with that one. They still lost.
Now shut up.
Doc is out.
No. You just can't help yourself. Reggie Miller will join us coming up. Final hour. Dan and the Danettes and Fritzy.
Never leaving the bubble.